Hello and welcome to Don't Pee on Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions, where we talk about scientific misconceptions we all have, and we hope that you learn something new about the world. I'm here with my co-host, Camden. You're tall. Why don't you, do you mind? I'm so sorry. There's just something on that shelf. Could you, hands lick Burton?
And I'm here with my co-host, Margaret Folk Yoke Golf. Hands lick Burton.
Welcome to the show. Well, as always, our first segment every week is where we share something that we are excited about. Camden, you go first.
I'm just excited about modern medicine this week. As folks know, there's just more news coming out about vaccines for the coronavirus, which is great. Encourage people to still wear masks and be smart and stay distant. Thanking my dad, who is in the hospital right now, not for COVID, but for other things, and how he had to sit in an emergency room overnight because there weren't other room beds for him.
Yep.
Yeah, modern medicine is important. Our hospitals are important. Our healthcare system is important, and they have to be, you know, given the resources they need to do their job, and they can do that better when everyone else follows.
Is not actively working against them.
Yeah, and they believe in the world of science and what it has to say, because it's not to make your life inconvenience, just to help people. So I'm thankful for that.
Great.
And hopeful that people, that most people will do the right thing.
Yeah.
Margaret, what are you excited about?
I am excited because for the first time this season, I saw snow yesterday.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. It was just a teeny tiny bit, and all day it kind of fluctuated between rain and snow and rain and snow, and so it didn't actually like snow really, but just those first little flakes
made you
like okay. We also got to go to this beautiful socially distanced luminary walk at our local arboretum, and it was beautiful. Oh my goodness, the work they put into it was gorgeous. I feel like I'm kind of more in the holiday spirit now. Things are settling down a little bit. I'm allowing Camden to listen to Christmas music.
Yes. It's on.
So yeah, just feeling very wintry.
Wintry.
Camden, I believe our next segment is What's That Sound? Which is a segment where Camden plays me a sound, or I play him a sound. This week it's him. And I have to guess what it is. So, you ready?
Here we go. Margaret, hit that theme music.
What's that sound? I said, oh, what's that sound?
Where's it?
Mine's short. Mine's more like a jingle. Okay.
So let's just jump into it. All right. Here it is for the first time.
Oh. I mean, my first answer, my first guess is bees. It sounds like a swarm of bees.
Beads?
But would that be too obvious for Camden to pick?
I love this segment now because it becomes a
mind game.
Like, it sounds exactly like a cat purring, but I know it can't be that easy.
I want to say like bees, or maybe my mind is on the hornets. And I'm thinking about, I know that you and I really, for a while there, were obsessed with the fact that, is it in Japan that
The hornets?
The bees, if a giant hornet gets into their hive, the bees will like vibrate together and basically bake
it
to death, which is
it's not that.
Okay.
But it is a cool thing of science. How about I'll play you this time? I'm not going to play you the same clip. I'm going to play you. I'm so confident you're not going to get it that I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
This is the same phenomenon, but it's happening faster.
Okay.
might have heard people in that one.
I did hear people in that one. I couldn't hear what
they
said,
though.
They
are triggering the phenomenon.
Okay, now I'm going to guess it's like some sort of natural, like almost like a weather event, maybe. Well, they couldn't trigger the, but maybe it's like electrical.
You're getting closer to them triggering some sort of natural events. It's definitely not bees.
Okay, I can't.
They're not like poking an animal, causing it to do this thing.
Okay, tell me. I can't wait. I'm excited.
It is people sliding down the hills of the Mojave Desert, the sand dunes. That is the sound of a sand avalanche.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So the first time they're going down slow.
Okay.
And the second time they're going down faster. You hear the frequency change?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Oh my goodness.
And so when they stop sliding. You can hear the sand keep rolling. And so that sound continues for a little bit longer. Isn't that cool?
That's very cool. And that kind of makes sense to me because we've been on beaches where there are small stones, like a bunch, like millions of small round stones. And when the wave pulls them out, it makes this like particular clattering sound. And I imagine on a very, very small level, when there's millions and millions of grains of sand and something's being dragged over them, that there would be a vibration like
that. That's a great connection.
Thank you.
Nice, bringing that idea in there. Yeah,
thank you.
I think so.
That's a really good one, Camden. Wow. Wowza. Not on the cheetah level quite yet, but.
Oh my God.
That was amazing. I really want to watch videos now of that, but I will move on to
the sand dunes.
The main segment of the show, which are, of course, the misconceptions. So every week we each bring a new scientific misconception to share, explain, and discuss. And as a note, we each research our misconceptions on our own and then we bring it to the podcast. So I don't know what Camden's going to do. He doesn't know what I'm. Oh, you should.
Oh,
I'll explain it later. Okay. And he doesn't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what he's going to do. So that the other co-host can learn along with you, the listener. How are we going to figure out who goes first? Do you have anything flippable?
I have my healthcare card.
Okay, great.
Don't leave it.
Is heads the group number side?
Mm-hmm. And back is
like the hotline side?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Or tails is the hotline side.
Call it in the air.
Yep. Tails.
Which is hotline?
Hotline side.
It's hotline side.
Yes! Finally!
Healthcare for the win.
Woo! Okay, that's really exciting. I never get to go first.
That's very true.
Okay, I'm really excited for this. I'm excited for all my misconceptions, but Kim, I don't know if you know this about me.
Is it about sharks?
No,
or graveyards?
It's not. No, actually, this is a different thing. It is my third love, which is debunking things that companies tell you are true. So I really love that.
Is it really not butter?
It's not butter? Oh, stop.
Oh.
Stop it. I really don't like businesses taking advantage of people under the guise of being scientific.
Yep.
I'm not a fan of people being taken advantage of regardless, but especially when they hide behind like this, like, no, we have science on our side. No, you don't.
Talked about the ones that don't matter. Like,
what do you mean?
Like the ones that aren't really taking a lot of people's money. They just take it because it makes them feel better.
Yeah.
Those are like, okay. But the ones that are parting from them for money or keeping them from actually doing real scientific founded things, those are bad. And
those
I feel like
really
that's what
bad.
This one's fallen into.
Yeah. It's like encouraging a certain definition of health. We'll get there. So in this mindset, have you ever heard that you shouldn't eat it if you can't pronounce it? Have you heard people say that?
I feel like yes. The idea being if it's such a long word, it's probably not good for you.
Exactly.
It should be like butter or bread or eggs or hydrochloric acid.
Oh, yes. That is the gist of it is long named, hard to pronounce words are probably chemicals and those are probably bad for you.
Also, so, who are we to define what words people can't pronounce?
Camden, don't read ahead.
Oh, okay.
So here are my sources. This great article by Doria Reeser called Chemical is Not a Bad Word, Kevin Sinapathy's article for Forbes, and James Kennedy's blog.
Okay. Are these, I assume, James Kennedy and Laura?
Doria?
Doria.
Uh-huh.
These are like...
They're my friends. They're just my friends on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Just kidding. James Kennedy is a science teacher in Australia.
Oh.
We'll get there. So where do we hear this misconception from that you can't eat it if you can't pronounce it, you shouldn't eat it? All over the place. Organic food companies, protein powder companies, nice. Diet companies, skincare companies. There's even a skincare company called Pronounce. Because that is like their whole mission is we don't include ingredients we can't pronounce.
I'm going to start my own diet company called Syllable.
Great. Oh, you shouldn't eat anything longer than one syllable.
Mm-hmm. Even though, ironically, the title of my company is Syllable.
And guess who else you hear it from, Camden?
Dr. Oz.
Yes. Friend. And by friend, I mean enemy of scientific accuracy.
I was gonna say enemy of the pod.
Dr. Oz, enemy of the pod.
Do you think we could get him angry at us?
Oh, that would be my fondest dream. So he touts this too, which at this point, if you're a longtime listener, you should know if Dr. Oz says it, probably don't do it. At the very least, double check that with some other sources like other scientists who care about science.
And by other scientists, if you get Dr. Oz and another scientist in a room, you have one scientist.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so how did this misconception originate? Well, this man named Michael Pollan, he wrote a book called In Defense of Food, An Eater's Manifesto.
Oh no, is Michael Pollan going down?
Yeah. Do you know him?
He was the one who wrote the, he went on that journey of how to change consciousness and like... He also wrote an Omnivore's Dilemma.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure some of the things that he says are accurate.
Yeah, because he is a scientist. Dang.
But in this book and in an interview for this book, he says that you shouldn't buy food with more than 5 ingredients or with ingredients that you can't pronounce. And so people...
So I can see where this is coming from okay. If you don't know what it is, you should be careful not to consume it. I could see that from like a basic level.
That's fine.
Don't just blatantly trust everything is just going to be good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Might be where this started.
Yeah. Yeah. And it speaks, this misconception speaks, I think, to the fear of chemicals that people have, which that fear is really encouraged by natural, whatever that means, product companies. And I think like a lot of these misconceptions, it might be attractive because it offers a pretty simple, pretty black and white rule to follow instead of confronting the fact that health and nutrition are really complex things and that rules don't apply to all situations and all people. So I think it's, again, an example of people wanting clear, easy rules to follow, which that's a, you know, normal instinct to have. You want things that are easy to follow, but unfortunately, health doesn't work like that. So why isn't this true? So like you said, Camden, let's talk about pronunciation first. Like you were saying, what is pronounceable is relative.
Right. Got it.
I worked in zoos and aquariums and I see people read the signs out loud sometimes and some people can pronounce some words and some people can't.
Yeah.
In my own life, I've noticed some people get really flustered when they try to pronounce our last name, Hanslick Burton. I don't think it's hard to pronounce. Other people can pronounce it, but some people find it very intimidating. So
aluminium.
Aluminium.
What is that?
So that's just very subjective. What is possible to pronounce is very subjective. And like I said earlier, what this misconception is really addressing is that people don't want chemicals in their food. Usually those are deemed the unpronounceable ingredients. So what are chemicals? What are chemicals, Camden?
I think this is a great question because chemicals to me feels like, this is for a different day, but like fruit or vegetable, like what we call a chemical is I think it's a very big name.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, chemicals are us. Everything exactly. is chemicals. Any, if you can touch it, it's a chemical.
Yep. Yeah.
Your chair is a chemical.
Yes.
Your body is a chemical.
Yes. Chemicals are elements. This is a research definition. Chemicals are elements or a combination of elements with a specific composition and structure. And like you said, everything is made of chemicals. We are made entirely of chemicals. So when produce companies, for example, boast that they are grown, that their products are grown without chemicals, that can't be true because, for example, water is made of chemicals. So
air is chemicals.
Air is chemicals.
The only way to be void of chemicals is to be in a vacuum. Don't eat a vacuum?
Don't eat vacuum plants.
Water
what? Yeah, everything's made of chemicals. Chemicals aren't all bad for you, despite what we hear all the time. We can't live without them. They're in our food. Not all chemicals are good for us. That's true. But many are. So you got to be more specific. And then you've got this kind of thing that some companies are saying and some movements are saying, which is like man-made or synthetic chemicals versus natural chemicals, saying like don't eat synthetic chemicals. But again, there's not a black and white line. For example, arsenic and lead are natural. But Cameron, do we want to eat arsenic and lead?
Oh man, not on this economy.
No. But then some synthetics like synthetic melatonin are safer for us. So it really does vary.
And some are more humane.
Like I was reading, exactly, yeah, and better for the environment. Like synthetic vanilla keeps us from absolutely decimating the places where vanilla is grown in the wild. So,
and there are like chemotherapy drugs that we no longer have to dispose of lots of natural, naturally occurring elements because we've been able to synthetically make that so that we're not destroying an entire species of plant.
Right. So there are many, many benefits to synthetics, and there are many drawbacks to some natural chemicals. You'll also, along with this don't eat what you can't pronounce misconception, you'll also hear count chemicals, not calories. And as somebody said, if you try to count chemicals, you will be there all day long because there are so many chemicals in the food that we eat. And you can't judge the healthiness of a food based on how many chemicals are in it. You can't.
I mean, just that's so flawed. You could eat only sugar and butter.
Yep.
Right? Which I realize they would say, well, not that. I assume they all talk like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I actually don't know if I've heard Dr. Oz speak in a way that I remember.
It's fine.
So
don't worry about it.
I assume he sounds like that.
He's welcome to call anytime.
Okay.
So I thought we would play a little game.
Oh, my gosh.
Some games.
I'm so excited. That's why, for peek behind the scenes, I was Googling long-named chemicals.
Don't. That's part of my game.
I didn't look.
Okay.
I was like going to have this list ready in case you hadn't come through, but Margaret always pulls through. So I'm
always
very excited.
Love a game. So this is just kind of showing that.
Need a theme song.
Oh, do you want to do the theme song?
Yeah, what's this game called?
It's called Guess the Common Name.
Guess that common name.
Oh, it was short as well. I'm so sorry.
But that snapping brought it home.
So I'm going to tell you the chemical name of an ingredient, and you're going to guess what the ingredient's common name is.
Putting that chemistry minor to the test.
Yes, it's okay if you don't get it right. These are, well, there's one that I hope you get right. Two. Oh, so
that makes me more nervous.
Potassium hydrogen tartrate.
Okay. I don't know.
It's cream of tartar.
Cream of tartar.
Where do you use cream of tartar?
Eggs.
Well, yeah, in baking,
yeah.
Basically. Very common, but might be hard for some people to pronounce.
I was thinking deviled eggs I was using.
Sure. This next one is hard for me to pronounce. Methylzaxanthine alkaloid 1,3,7 trimethylpurine 2,6-dione. What is that?
Man, that's a good old cheeseburger right there.
No. It's caffeine.
Oh.
It's caffeine. All right. Sodium chloride.
Salt.
Correct. Cyanocobalamin.
Sounds like a protein.
Cyanocobalamin.
I don't know.
I'll give you the hint that you and I, as vegetarians, need this.
B12?
Yeah.
Hey.
B12. Sodium bicarbonate.
Baking soda.
Correct. Those are the two you had to get right.
Thank
you did a great
goodness.
Job. And then
I'm just playing for house money now.
Pyridoxine.
Fire.
Not an element, Camden.
Ah.
Vitamin B6.
According to some.
Sure. All right. So this B6. Is part okay. two of the game.
Oh.
Where I'm going to list some chemicals, like I'm listing ingredients in something, and you have to guess what I would be making
with
these
God.
Chemicals.
Can we just do a whole episode?
All
right, keep it running.
Yeah. So does that make sense? These mm-hmm. aren't all yep. the chemicals in this thing, but there are some of them. So this first one, the ingredient list, water, histidine, leucine, isoleucine, tryptophan, pristic acid, phytosterols, phylloquinone, methylbutol, ethanoate, hexanoate, and more.
When
what
you
is that?
Started with a bunch of amino acids,
mm-hmm.
it made me think you were describing a protein shake.
I mean...
So I don't know. It's like NutraSlim or one of those like heavy protein drinks. I don't know.
Are you ready for your mind to be blown?
Yeah.
It's a banana.
Well, that goes to show that there are proteins in a lot of things mm-hmm. that aren't what
yeah.
you think.
Yeah, James Kennedy, that Australian chemistry teacher, has an amazing blog where he has ingredient lists for food like that.
Yeah.
You should check it out. So, ready for the next one?
Yeah, I have two more. I'm on fire.
Arginine, threonine, octadecanonic acid, eicosatriuretic acid.
I hope a food scientist is listening
I'm
to this
so sorry.
And like being like strapped to a chair.
I'm so sorry. Docosahexaenoic acid, galactose, terpenes, and more.
I mean, the first things you said were amino acids. So again, I'm stuck in this is just anything.
Sure.
Galactose is a sugar. I don't. It's spinach.
It's an egg. All right, last one. Caryophyllene, alpha-terpeniol, 8-cineol, arginine, tocopherol, linolenic acid, butyrylhyde, oxalic acid. I'm so sorry, food scientist.
You know what? I do know this one.
No, you don't.
It's gravy.
No. It's blueberries.
Ah. That was second guess.
So you can see that there are long, unpronounceable names in
yep.
things that most people would consider to be pretty healthy, whatever so
wait,
that means.
If I look at a blueberry, like a thing of blueberries,
mm-hmm.
does it say that on the back?
No.
It just says blueberries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
we've allowed that to become a common name.
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct. So I'll close with this. There are all these things we hear. Don't eat what you can't pronounce. Count chemicals, not calories. Don't eat more things with more than 5 ingredients, which in addition to being untrue, also have a lot of privilege inherent in them.
Mm-hmm.
When we demand that people eat a certain way, even, you know, vegetarian, vegan, keto, paleo,
mm-hmm.
that can be really tone deaf to the fact that not everyone can afford fresh, organic, chemical-free, quote-unquote. No one can afford that because it doesn't exist. 5-ingredient foods, that's really tone deaf. And I found this great Huffington Post piece called Check Your Food Privilege that I would encourage everyone
oh.
to read.
Yeah.
Because assuming that that is the only way to be healthy is a really rough privilege thing to do. So in conclusion, chemicals are us. We are chemicals.
Oh.
Eat some, but check what they're like first. Do some research.
Yep.
You're going to be fine.
Thanks.
You're going to be fine, Camden.
Thanks, Margaret. That was great. I love the
you like
bringing
a game?
It home.
I like a little game?
Oh, man, it had everything I love. Debunking Dr. Oz. Had a game. You brought it home. You brought it global. I
Thank
love
you.
It. Oh, it's so good. Chef's kiss. Mwah.
Now, I think Camden is going to bring it to a planetary level, because your one clue for me for your misconception was moon.
Wow. Now we're making astronomers sit in the chair going, oh.
Which I realize moons aren't planets. I understand that. I understand that. But you could have meant, I guess, like something like butt cheek related. No?
I don't have to bleep you.
No. You can say butts. No. We're not doing, we're not stealing my brother and me's segment of Munch Squad.
Margaret, what's your favorite Pink Floyd album?
Rock Around the Christmas Tree.
Oh, yeah. But what's your second favorite? That's an album?
No. Well, right. I don't know.
Is it Dark Side of the Moon?
It is. You knew it.
I knew
Thank you for knowing me so well.
Yep. Margaret, guess what?
What?
Is there a Dark Side of the Moon?
I'm going to guess there's not.
Margaret.
Yeah? You always do this.
Yeah. You're outside, and it's roughly 5 p.m.
Uh-huh.
On December 3rd.
Okay.
So it's going to be pitch black outside.
Yeah, the sun is setting at 4:26. Yeah. I just saw that.
But look up. What's that? It's gray.
Oh.
A circle in the sky.
Uh-huh.
What is it, Margaret?
An owl wearing a shield.
But slightly above that owl is...
Oh, it's the moon.
It's the moon. A full moon, nonetheless.
Oh, wow.
Ah, but something's nagging at you, Margaret.
My constant anxiety?
My ennui? What side of the moon are you seeing?
The light side. The side the sunlight is hitting.
So, we're going to talk about today... Have you ever heard this myth that there is a dark side of the
moon?
Oh, yeah. It is a common colloquial phrase. I could not...
Mysterious is the dark side of the moon. What's that song from?
Mysterious is the dark side of the moon?
Uh-huh.
Can we ask an audience?
Mysterious is the dark side of the moon. What is that from?
Oh, you can Google it.
I'm going to Google it.
So, does the moon have a dark side? Margaret, what does the Earth do every single day? In fact, once every 24 hours.
Oh, figured it out?
What is it?
I'll make a man out of you from Mulan. Sorry, go ahead.
What does the moon do once every 24 hours?
It circles around this here. Oh.
Go ahead.
It orbits.
Around the whole sun in 24 hours?
No, around the Earth.
Sorry. The Earth rotates
yes.
once every 24 hours. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, the moon turns.
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
I'm asking what the Earth does, not what the moon
does.
Oh,
I thought you were asking what the moon did. I'm so sorry.
By Mulan.
I was distracted by Mulan.
So the Earth rotates once every... About 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
People will argue it's 23 hours and blah, 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 which is why we have leap years. I'm not going down there.
Wow.
So
making enemies.
I'm here to tell you today that the moon has no side that is constantly dark. The front and back side of the moon are alternately lit as the moon itself rotates as well.
So if that's true... Then where do all the aliens hide?
Exactly. They have to keep moving.
Keep moving.
So I'm here to tell you today there is no permanent dark side of the moon. There is, however, a far side of the moon.
This is why you were researching Far Side comics today.
So, Margaret, what is the far side? So the moon rotates at the same rate that it orbits the Earth.
Mm.
Keeping one side permanently away from the Earth.
Okay.
So it is true that there is a side of the moon that we never see.
Oh, you're being all specific. I see what you're doing.
But it's fun. However, that side is not always dark. And
okay.
That's where our misconception comes. So how can it be that we only see one side? So Margaret, you need to go into a mind palace.
Oh, no.
Imagine a room that you are very familiar with.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's helpful if that room has a window.
Okay.
So it could be
this
a childhood.
This room has four windows.
Yeah,
Is
one
that
with
too
one.
Many?
Try one with one window.
Yep, I got one.
Okay. Helps to know a room that you can picture pretty well.
Okay.
Now imagine, put a chair in the middle of that room.
Okay.
All right? This chair is going to represent the Earth.
Okay.
If it helps, imagine 7.7 billion dust bunnies on that chair. To get a sense that this is the Earth. Now imagine you slowly walk around that chair, but so that you are always looking directly at the chair.
Okay.
Okay. You are the moon. If it helps, imagine you got some really cool gray foundation on.
Cool.
Yeah. Or if it helps, you're made of cheese.
Mm.
Just kidding.
Earth, I'm made of chemicals.
The moon's not made of cheeses. Have you heard that one?
That the moon is made of cheese?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I was a child once.
Okay. Okay. So you are the moon walking around this chair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
Because you have to keep facing it,
mm-hmm.
does the angle you see the chair at change?
Yes.
Yes. As you rotate around the chair, mm-hmm. sometimes you might be facing the seat.
Sometimes I'm facing the back.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes facing the side.
To keep facing the chair, do you have to rotate?
Not fully.
Do you have to rotate?
Oh, no, I don't have to rotate at all.
Okay. Now think about this.
I just have to turn a little.
You have to turn. That is rotation.
Okay.
But so you may not think about it, but if I were to just follow you.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm
you
sorry.
You fully rotate.
But the chair won't ever see my back, though.
Exactly. To the chair, you are not rotating.
Mm.
But if you imagine, if you just think of yourself, that entire turn around the chair,
mm-hmm.
you fully rotate.
Okay.
Because if you think about it, on one side of that chair, you are facing one direction.
Yeah.
When you've made a halfway around that chair, you have completely turned around.
Okay.
That's a really hard thing about this misconception. It's really hard to imagine what the moon is doing or not doing because we are on the chair.
We are on the chair.
But if you imagine, you can literally do this, you will fully rotate. But to the chair, to the 7.7 billion dust bunnies, you never rotated once.
Are dust bunnies the human population?
Yes, yes, okay. Yes.
Is the sun the window?
Yes. Naha. Thank you for remembering the window. Imagine the sun is coming in through that window.
Okay.
Are there times when the sun is in your eyes?
Yes.
Are there times when it is not in your eyes?
Yes.
There are times when it is facing your front.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? There are times.
When it's facing my back.
Yes. Is there a dark side of the moon?
No. Not always.
Is not sometimes, the same not side of you.
Right.
There is always a dark side. But sometimes it is your front.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's the side of you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's the back of you. Sometimes it's like your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're talking about the phases of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
The phases are the parts of the moon that are always illuminated.
Mm-hmm.
But your back is the far side.
Okay.
The dust bunnies always see your front. But your back very much exists. And sometimes the sun is glowing on your back.
Uh-huh.
When it's fully glowing on your back, we have a new moon, you can't see the moon anymore.
Mm-hmm.
To the dust bunnies. So the moon rotates, the earth rotates. They happen to rotate in such a way in synchronicity to each other that it looks like the moon is never rotating.
Nice, Camden, that's so good. So there isn't, just to sum up, there isn't a dark side. There is a far side
There's a far side we don't see. There's half the moon is always in darkness, just like the earth,
mm-hmm.
But is not always the same half of the moon. There is no dark side. Interesting thing about this is that to keep this rotation in sync, the moon will always, the same side of the moon faces towards the moon, faces towards the earth in around a month, which mm-hmm. is why the lunar cycle is about a month.
Okay.
Why does this happen? It is due to tidal locking. So this is just like such a cool part of astronomy that I can't begin to try to explain. I should have said a long time ago that my information came from NASA, Wikipedia's article, The Far Side of the Moon,
uh-huh.
an interview with David Rothery at Open University, theconversation.com, and Scientific American. In an interview with The Conversation, Alan P. Boss, who is a planetary scientist at the Carnegie Institution, says that the same forces that creates the Earth's tides, which comes from the gravitational pull of the moon and a little bit of the sun.
Oh.
So the Earth's tides come from a pull from the moon.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Earth also pulls on the moon, which
wow.
makes sense. It's
I
why
mean,
the
it,
moon
it
doesn't
is.
Shoot off into
right.
space.
That,
we pull
that
it
makes
back.
Sense.
But we are pulling it in such a way that is keeping it facing towards us as well. it controls a bit of us. We control a bit of it. And that is beautiful harmony of the earth
and the moon.
There is no dark side. There is only the far side.
Nice, Camden. So are you saying that Pink Floyd didn't write a purely scientific album?
No.
How dare they? Beautiful. Well, we're going to end. What were you going to say? Oh, you looked like you had a joke face on. You look like you're going to.
I always have a joke face on.
So before we end each episode, we share something that we're consuming this week. So something that we're reading or watching or consuming in some way. Camden, because you went last, do you want to go first?
Speaking of the far side.
There it is.
You ruined it earlier.
Sorry.
The Far Side is a great comic. If you've never read a Far Side comic, wow.
Did you ever go to the dentist?
Did you ever go to the dentist? Were you ever me as a child?
No.
It's a great comic. It's in syndication. Like they did make some new ones. So the author is Gary Larson, mm-hmm. or the cartoonist. He's from Seattle. We drove by his house once creepily.
Did we?
Yeah, I did. Did I tell you I was doing that?
No.
So he studied biology in college at UW, but then transferred to be a communications major because he didn't know what to do with that degree.
Okay.
Which he has later said he regretted doing. He wanted to become an entomologist, but didn't know if that would be like a fulfilling career or probably pay the bills,
mm-hmm.
which fortunately, he probably made a lot more money doing what he did as a cartoonist. Mm-hmm. But the reason I bring that up is because as a young child, I think a lot of my interest in science and absurd humor came from him. Some of my favorite ones I was trying to look up is from the absurd humor side is it's these two people looking at it at a ship in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And is the caption is, beats me how they do it. I just found it at a garage stand. But instead of a ship in a bottle, it's a little boy. and then there's another one of these spiders sitting on a playground slide. And at the very bottom, they created this huge net or a huge web. And the spider's looking at the other spider going, if we pull this off, we'll eat like kings. I just love them so much. They're scientific. They're funny. They're absurd.
Mm-hmm.
They make no sense at times. It is exactly my sense of humor. They're appropriate as a child. I mean, I read these when I was very little.
Yeah.
I love it. The Far Side. And it ties well into our misconception.
Nice, Camden. Well, I don't have a themed one, but you all know, you all are living in this year with us. it's been really rough. Personally, it's been rough. On a national scale, it's been rough.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could say I was consuming something really deep and really like
sometimes.
Meaningful, which I do sometimes. Not this time. It is no less important to me, however. We have been listening to the podcast called Till Death Do Us Blart, hosted by the McElroys and then these two other New Zealand podcasters. Every year at Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, they watch Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, and then they talk about it afterwards every Thanksgiving. And they have this pact that they will do it every year until they die, at which point that duty will be passed on to other people. And
yes.
So it must keep going for eternity. I think they started it in 2014. So
hence the title, Till Death Do Us Blart.
Till Death Do Us Blart. We watched Paul Blart Mall Cop the other day just to see what it was about. It was awful movie.
It's a terrible movie.
Just the worst movie in so many ways. But their commentary on it is really funny. And in these dark, confusing, stressful times, it is the little cotton candy I need to fill my brain with. Mm-hmm. So Till Death Do Us Blart is what I've been consuming.
Yeah, and I hate to tell listeners, but like it's so much funnier if you've watched.
Yeah, you kind of got to do it.
I tell you, it's like a rough 90 minutes to get through, but the payoff is sweet if you listen to this podcast. If you never listen to the podcast and just watch Paul Blart 2, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Just listen to the podcast. So that's my recommendation. If you want that sugar, sugar, sugar that will fill your brain with Paul Blart instead of anxiety.
There you go.
Well, thank you all, as always, for listening today. We really appreciate it. If you liked this episode or any of our other ones, please rate us wherever you're listening to this podcast and leave us a quick review, because written reviews help new listeners decide if they want to give us a try. So help us out, help new listeners out, and leave us a quick review.
You can find more content from us on our social media pages on Instagram at Don't Pee on Your Leg,
Twitter at Don't Pee, just the letter P on your leg,
and Facebook at facebook.com/don't pee on your leg.
Don't Pee on Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions is a podcast produced by Two Birds, One Scone. Articles, blog posts, and more about what you can do every day to conserve our environment can be found at twobirdsonescone.org.
Our original theme music is by Camillo.
And if you have a scientific misconception that you want to us to explain, or you want to provide feedback to us, please email us at don'tpeeonyourleg@gmail.com.
Have a great week.